Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So you remember, right, back in COVID days that we survived it all, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So my wife and I, back in probably 2019 late, we booked the Panama Canal cruise. And that went right down the drain. And I think, probably late March maybe, the cruise line notified us, you don't have a cruise, but we'll rebook you for November. So all in all, and maybe you've gone through some of those gymnastics, we had 5 cruises canceled. You know, they kept saying, well, we're going to start this one, and we'd book that one, and this one, and this one. And finally, in 2021, they said, okay, it's a go. We've got 2 cruises you can pick from. One was out of Venice, Italy, and the other was out of Athens, Greece. And I said, and this, you got to understand, we already had this thing paid for in 2019. So I said, let's go to Greece. So in August of 2021, we sheltered at home and flew to Athens, which in itself was an adventure. And anyway, we had to pass a COVID test just to get on the plane. We did that. Then when we landed in Athens, we had to pass another test to get on the ship. We did that. And I tell you all this because when we got done with that, we spent a couple extra days in Athens, and I wished I would have spent longer, but we had to get back. And in that process, we went to the Acropolis. By the way, as a travel person, don't ever go to Greece in August, okay? Because it's just like Oklahoma. It's hot and dusty. We were at the original site of the Olympics, and I don't know, walked about a mile and a half, which back then I could do. I'm not sure I could make it now. But it was in the mid-90s and hot and dusty. And there was this older gentleman, and he made it about halfway through and then sat under a shade tree. So I tell you all this because then when we went to the Acropolis, that's where Paul's at today in Acts 17. And what I noticed right away in the Greek tour was, the Greek cruise, was how human these Greek gods are. Have you ever, you know, they've got a plethora of movies about this Greek god or that Greek god and on and on and on. And if you'll pay attention, they're all human, right? So they come down and have relations with human women and on and on and on. And this person does that and this God does this. But they're all human. By the way, one of the aisles we were close to is the birthplace, supposedly, of Apollo. And I'm like, it's a rock, okay? And when I did my research, I said, well, you can go over there for a half day. And I'm like, is there a bathroom? You know, at my age, hey, 2 hours, and I got to find one. So back to Greece. You know, I feel this pain. I feel the pain of Paul in this text because he was there, and of course, The Greek heyday was a couple hundred years before him. This is first century B.C. And where he was dragged to, I'll use that term, for the meeting, was originally where the equivalent of the Greek Supreme Court met. And as time dwindled, they did that. And I don't know if any of you have been to Greece, but the Acropolis is this giant plateau that overlooks Athens. And They've got Temple to Zeus and a Temple to Zeus's wife and all that kind of stuff up there. And they're, every time I see a picture of it, they're fixing something up there. But you're up here on the plateau, right, where all the temple ruins are at. And then down over here is, it's, if you look in, at your Bible, it'll probably say the hill. But it's really a giant rock, all right? Yeah, there's dirt, some dust on it, and you can see where originally they carved into the stone the steps to go up there, and I have no way of knowing how old those carved steps are. If that's what Paul used, you'd have had to have something or a rope to have gotten up there, right? Because it's about from the ground level, which is elevated, it's probably 15 foot to the top, but it's basically a rock. It's basically a rock. But what do we learn? Why did God give us Acts 17? It's so that we can defend the faith and speak where people that are listening, if they're listening, are at. You notice Paul in this text, he gives a great witness, and what's he do? He starts with first article stuff. We'll have it here in just a bit in the Nicene Creed. He gives us that basis. And I remember, I'm telling another travel story. I'm in London with my oldest son, and we're at the Science Museum there, and we're up on the second floor, and they've got these giant panels on the wall, and here's this gas where the Earth was formed, and then it goes on, and then about the fourth panel, this big chunk of rock comes out. And then the next panel, ta-da, it's a perfectly rounded moon. And this young English couple was standing there looking at that panel, and I'm like, you know, if that was really true, wouldn't there be a big hole somewhere? You know, and so you start with first article stuff. God is creator. Ask whoever you're witnessing to, do you believe that all we have, you see the plethora of life and in the sea and on the ground? Do you really think all that just evolved from two cells that got together, put a time limit on it, 1 million years ago, 1 billion? No. I remember when I gave up on the Discovery Channel years ago, was they had this travelogue sort of show about Australia. And they had this wonderful little hummingbird in Australia that's got like twice the beak that the hummingbird here in America has. And hopefully some of you have got hummingbirds that come to your backyard. But the narrator was saying, and this hummingbird evolved so that it could reach the deep nectar. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Why didn't the first generation starve to death? You know, people say this stuff, and they never, for really, really smart folks, sometimes they don't think. But Paul was defending the faith. And on this Mother's Day, it's important because I'm going to guess many of you are here because your mothers taught you the faith, and if not your mother, maybe your grandmother. Even for my generation, my great-grandparents were long gone. I lost both grandfathers when I was about 10 in the same year. But Paul is Paul. Go back and read the first part of Acts 17. And Paul and his ministry team were in Thessalonica. And then he went into the synagogue. That was his key. If there was a synagogue, he would go in, and he would interact with those folks and show them by the scriptures, Jesus is the Christ. Your own scriptures are saying this time and time again. Time and time again. And some believed and some didn't, which is, that's what happens still today in the 21st century. And so the ones that didn't believe, though, got hostile. And the other Christians in Thessalonica told Paul that you got to get out of town. And they did, and they went down to a neighboring town, Berea. And Paul was having great success there. Then the Jews in Thessalonica discovered, oh, he's down there. And they went. Some of them went down there, and to use the scripture example, they found rabble-rousers and probably paid them. And they, once again, the Christians in Berea said to Paul, you got to get out of town, and guess where? That's where your text starts this morning. In Acts 17, the verse 17 tells you, Paul first reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews, and then when he went to Athens, in the marketplace, he's like, where's the people at? And then verse 18, some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. Why? Because, well, this is different. And but you got to understand, and it's the same one we witness today in the 21st century. If you tell somebody Jesus was the Son of God, but also the Son of Mary, true God, true man. And if you tell someone that story, they're like, what? And then it gets better. On Good Friday, we had the crucifixion, passion, death, and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The Son of God, the Son of Mary. Understanding that the Epicurean goal was pleasure and happiness. And to the Stoic philosopher, the universe is God. Really? You know, reach out, Luke. Pardon that. And guess what? The world hasn't changed much in 2,000 years. Today, we have different labels, but the same ideas. That God is here, God is there, God's in all of us, and on and on and on. They miss the point. They miss Jesus Christ. And guess what? You're the only ones that can tell them. We're the only ones that can tell them. Because, like Paul, he defended the faith. And I'm going to guess probably some of you have done that with family and friends. If you're older like me, you probably have shared Jesus, obviously, with your grandchildren or even great-grandchildren if they're old enough. And then for me, even as a pastor, I always feel like I've been successful with my grandchildren, but not so much maybe with my children. They're not heathens, but they could be doing a whole lot more. But that's the world today in our families, but also in our coworkers. And of course, then we come up with all these silly ideas. Well, you can't wear a cross at work, or you can't do this, you can't do that. And we face the same crisis that Paul did. But Paul's inner being was stretched in Athens. Because he saw this temple and that temple. And again, it's always strange. By the way, as an aside, I asked our guide when we were at Olympia, you know, because the original Olympic sites from, I want to say, 500 BC, the original Olympic site was lost for like 1,000 years. I'm like, how did that happen? And then, of course, then the big question is, well, why did they stop having it? Well, you had a Christian Roman emperor by the 400s, and the Christian Roman emperor said, wait a minute, if we keep these games up, who were the games dedicated to? They're dedicated to false gods. They were dedicated to Zeus. And so the Roman emperor at the time said, forget that. And that site was lost for almost 1,000 years. And by the way, you know, back in the 70s, 80s, we had, you first had the Kennedy evangelism method. And I know probably some of you older folks maybe went through the Kennedy classes. And then Wiesenthal at St. Louis adapted that. And back in the 80s, even at seminary, you went out and went door to door. And the same thing, if you ask your neighbor or your friend or family, you know, who do you say Jesus is? Or one of the diagnostic questions, why, you know, if you were to die today, why would God let you in heaven? That's assuming now they believe in a God or they believe in heaven, because a lot of people don't anymore. But the world does not ask, who is our Savior? How did we get saved? And of course, part of that problem is, what's sin? What is sin? You know, Jesus talks about that in the gospel text today. Understand, the world will always attack and hate what God says. It's been that way. You know, when all the bad things happen, when we had the shooting up at Arcadia Lake last week, you know, oh, what's the reason for that? I have a simple answer. Sin and Satan. Or somebody does something traumatic down here in Norman. What is that? Sin and Satan. Because the world attacks and hates God. But defending the faith, it's important, because if we don't do it, if you don't do it, it won't get done. You know, because the world doesn't care. The world will say, well, this or that. And they just shuffle stuff around. Like I said before, whether it's 1,000 years or 2,000 years, it's all the same. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, and he means that. But understand that Paul's model in Athens still works today, to share in love. Peter talks about that in the epistle. To share in love Jesus Christ. To share in love your witness. And of course, I think back with Vicar here. One of my classmates vicared in Wichita Falls down here, just across the line in Texas. And if you've been to Texas, and I'm guessing many of you, if not all of you have, then Texas has this strange event that we used to have in Oklahoma when I was a kid, was, well, this is a dry county, and so no alcohol there. But you go to the next county, then it's good to go, right? Yeah, whatever you needed. And Wichita Falls, at the time in the 80s, was a dry county. And so one of the TV stations, while my friend was vicaring there, went down and went through the parking lot at the bar across the line, the county line, and did all the tags. He'd probably get sued so much today. And then the next Sunday, that was Saturday night, and then Sunday morning they went through all the church parking lots and saw many of the same tags. And I said, see, always understand that we are always, always held to a higher standard. We've been that way. We've been that way. But Peter in 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. When I was at seminary, we rented our little house from a couple. He was the music director for one of the large churches there in St. Louis. And their son, God bless him, was a camp director in no less than Idaho. And so Dad, being super musically inclined, thought he should go help the son get the camp ready. And he was out there, and Dad was probably doing, understand I was raised on a farm. Dad was out there as a city guy, and he used a chainsaw, bad idea, but used a chainsaw, cut down the tree, and the tree fell on him. He was in a coma for like a month, and they life-flighted him down to Salt Lake, and his very faithful Lutheran wife stayed there day in and day out for that whole month. And at the end of it all, the nurses came up to her and said, "We are so impressed with your faith," because she never lost faith. Never lost faith. And so in today's reading from Acts, Paul is defending the faith. And he is declaring the faith by starting with the first article, that God is creator of all things. And then he tells them about Jesus and about his passion, death, and resurrection. And just as Paul defended the faith versus the false gods of the Greeks, we too are called to defend the faith in the 21st century. And it's the same as in Paul's time, because it is still a life or death matter. It's very simple. The scriptures tell us those who believed are saved and those who don't aren't. We're blessed in America that our freedom to declare the gospel has been protected by millions of our fellow Americans over the centuries. And today, the nation that they fought and died for to protect is only each generation turning more from God. In fact, many today outwardly hostile. We are called by God to defend the faith, as Peter reminds us in today's epistle. May we be inspired by the witness of St. Paul to go to the Greeks, and we go to the people of our day, and many within our own communities, within our state, and indeed within our nation and the world. Amen. Now may that peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus this day and every day. Amen.